This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leading toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back up. And when I fall down, stand up for the champions, for the champions. Stand up, stand up for the champions, for the champions. Stand up.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. I'm Michelle Barber, and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the straight allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I communities, to encourage greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue, or even introduce a new way of thinking. But most importantly, we would love to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow families in all its shapes and sizes. So we would like to actually say hello to our Sydney listeners. You are on Joy 94.9 in Melbourne and in Sydney on Star Observer Digital, your sex, sexuality and gender diverse digital radio station. So tonight I am going to be joined with somebody in a moment, and I will introduce him. He'll have to sit there and get nervous. And we're going to be talking about role models in media, what they were, what they are now, TV, film, and everything, I suppose, from Are You Being Served, that unique British comedy, to a newly released TV series called Looking, which I think was released this year in 2014. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my dear friend Chris, who's going to battle the microphone with me tonight. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's good. One of the things I just wanted to mention before we delve into our influences, what your influences were, and what we feel about the various people that are presented in movie and TV over perhaps 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. We can't go back further than that because we're not too that old,
yeah,
are we?
Absolutely.
No, that's right. So in Western society, we sort of learn from TV and film as a medium, and it's taught many people in the straight community what they have to think about gays, what they should think about gay people. It's almost like creating an opinion for them, and it's kind of taught the gay community what they should think about themselves. Do you kind of agree with that?
Absolutely. It's the media has played a huge part in my understanding of myself and where I fit into the gay community. One of the things I kind of want to point out as we go through the hour is that, you know, while I'm not a media expert, I just want to talk about my experiences and my observations. I think that's really important.
One of my earliest memories of a gay character, and maybe I was not even aware that he was gay, maybe on a subliminal level, was that what did he say from Are You Being Served?
I'm free.
Yeah. So, and every time I hear that, I cringe. We might just take a walk down memory lane, shall we?
Absolutely.
Grace Brothers Men's Department.
Mr. Humphreys, are you free?
I'm free.
Forward. Mind the door.
Whoops!
Are you being served, sir?
I'm Humphreys and I'm free.
Are you being served, sir?
What would you like to see?
Chris, how does that make you feel when you hear that?
Well, it certainly brings back a lot of memories. You know, as a kid growing up in Australia, I think like most of us, this was a program that was in our prime time. Mm-hmm. And the representation of a gay character was that very flamboyant, over the top, camp. That was the characterization that I saw. I mean, you had that show. Obviously, I was aware of Liberace being very camp and over the top. Dick Emery show. I know this is all kind of British humor, but this was all prime time in Australia. He had a honky tonk character, Danny LaRue, who was a female impersonator, and even as far as Julian Clary, he was still that camp over the top. So what I kind of understood at the time was to be gay meant to be camp, overtly over the top. That's just what I saw. I know it was just a sign of the times, but for me growing up, knowing that I was gay, I could not identify with that. I did not feel it was a mirror of who I was.
Or I suppose maybe not even a mirror of what society was even like then.
I think it was a reflection of the time, in that that was a safe portrayal of homosexual men.
Because they were taking the, you know what, out of themselves, maybe?
Absolutely,
do you think?
Yeah. The gay man was very much comic relief at the time.
Yeah.
And certainly in these characters, these were all people that you would laugh at. Now, I'm sure, you know, I'm aware that Number 96 had had a serious gay relationship in it, but this wasn't in my prime time. I was in bed by then, so I wasn't exposed to that characterisation.
That was groundbreaking, though, for its time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
And I remember, I kind of think about it now, that my parents would talk about this gay, and again, I was too young to probably realise the importance of it or how momentous it was. But what would that be, mid-70s, I think? Yeah. So that would have been huge and probably took a bit of courage on the part of the producers and the writers and that kind of thing. I wonder if there was pressure to put a gay character in there.
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, it was set in an apartment block, and I'm sure the audience will know much better than I, but it was, from memory, it was set in an apartment block, and it was just a slice of Sydney life. And it was I think it was an honest portrayal as much as, you know, a soap could be at the time. And it showed those characters, and I don't necessarily think it was particularly, obviously it was brave of the network, but I don't think there was the pushback like there would have been from British media or from American media, where the censor was much more in control. So
I don't think that they represented in the right way. I think do you think that perhaps then has created people's opinions, maybe not quite so much now, but people's opinions of what a gay person was? And do you think that's why that you know, someone would always say, you know, you're a fag, and they dropped the wrists and all that, because that's all they knew of a gay person.
Absolutely,
that's all they saw.
Yeah.
So do you think that maybe is why it's so hard to break down now, because you had all those years?
I think that very camp persona is a very safe persona. It can
Why
be a joke.
Why do you say safe? What do you mean?
Because I think it's very easily identifiable. Women understand that. They can have a laugh about it. Men are not threatened by heterosexual men are not threatened by it, because there's a clear deviation between that and who they are.
So it's not reality at all, is it?
No.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have some characters who are flamboyant and over the top, and that is fantastic, but that's not all of us. And I think it showed a very small segment of our community, and we're much more diverse than that. But I don't think at the time, and we're talking, you know, the time that as a child, what I was influenced by in television, that wasn't able to show those characters.
I'm not sure if you would be able to remember. Can you kind of cast your mind back to the first time that you might have seen a gay character that you thought, that's kind of real, or that might be me,
No, not really. I think because, you know, growing up, it was that camp over the top. It wasn't until much later on when I would watch films like East of Eden. Not East of Eden, Rebel Without a Cause, with that whole Salminio character. That I kind of understood. But that kind of leads us to kind of down a different track. But at the time, growing up, it's just like I just could not identify with those men in television.
And they were men. That I, from what I can remember, there was no teenagers or were all older, weren't they?
Yeah,
and they're being stupid and ridiculous and being made fun of.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well.
They were a joke.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
And that's really, really sad. So do you have do you kind of have one character that you, one person that you found anything that you could relate to?
And there used to be a program, and this was years later, but there was a program on called Soap. I don't know if anyone remembers
it.
The Billy Crystal character. Well, it wasn't the Billy Crystal, it was his partner. Who was the football player. And it was like that. To me, was he was a football player, and maybe that's a gay man's fantasy. I don't know, but he was
sure
just like a normal bloke, and that's I kind of identified more with that than I did with these flamboyant over the top. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just I could not put myself with it, so I felt kind of a little bit invisible, I guess.
There seems to be a definitely a change in the way people have. Try to portray themselves, even when they were being interviewed. Think about it now, even those actors, when they were being interviewed, they still hammed it up as well. So even away from the TV screen.
A lot of them, I guess, were gay in real life. John Inman was gay, Danny LaRue was gay, Julian Clary. So to be their character was a way of, I guess, shielding themselves. You've got to remember, a lot of it, gay was illegal for a long time, And to be out and proud was unheard of. So if you were your persona, you kept your life separate. And, Danny LaRue maintained a relationship for 30-odd years. But it was his private life. His public life was very, very different.
They probably would have... Do you think they would have lost their jobs, perhaps?
He was a female impersonator. But I think he just kind of made the... His partner was very much behind the scenes. And there was that clear... They were their job rather than gay first.
I'm going to ask you one... it's not a personal question, but before we go for a break. If you could design a role model... on TV, could you do that? What would you like to have seen? And we'll talk in more depth later on, but what would you like to have seen?
I think just, I grew up in a kind of regular home, my parents, my brothers and sisters. If I had seen a relationship that was like my parents' relationship, I would have gone... That's nice. That's normal. I don't want to use the word normal, but you know what I mean? That's a standard. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I want love just like my parents had it, like anybody else has it. Mm. I don't want drama. I don't want anything.
You just want everydayness, in a sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know it sounds really boring, doesn't it?
No. But everydayness is not boring either.
No,
just you would like it to not be a caricature almost.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what we were seeing in the
70s. And I think, a lot of gay men can, we camp it up and we can be all these kind of things, but you get to the core of most people and they're not like that. We are businessmen, we're lawyers, we're all these different things. And for me, sex is not. If that's the most interesting thing about me, I think I'm pretty boring because, trust me, I think I'm a lot more than just who I fall in love with.
Yeah. And when we come back, that's actually what we're going to talk a little bit more about not just everything being about sex and having and creating some real life characters. You're on Joy 94.9 on Stand Up Straight. Be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Hi, everyone. You are with Michelle and Chris, and we're having a chat about what our role models were and what we'd like them to be and what they are currently, et cetera, et cetera. I played that song, Everyday People, and I had a reason for that, Chris. Is that what we want? Do we want to just be perceived as everyday people?
Absolutely.
Is that what you want, your role models?
For myself. I obviously, I can't speak for the entire community, but absolutely, that's just what I want.
Yeah. So, Chris, one of the things that we hadn't mentioned yet was, and it disturbs me a touch, I have to say, is that so often I have seen really negative representations of the gay community as a villain or a really nasty queen or someone really bitchy, hurtful.
Yeah.
One, does that upset you or anger you? And secondly, why do we think?
Does it anger me? No, not particularly. I get frustrated, but it's a representation, and it's not everyone, but there are some people, who may act like that. And a lot of it, it may be done for, we talked about earlier with those characters, for comic relief and stuff like that. And I mean, some have some really biting humor, which is really funny.
And it can be clever.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't make you really overly angry when you
No, not at all. You know, you've got to remember, we're talking about a very different time. What kind of, one of the things that I learnt, or observed as I got older, was that going from that kind of comic relief and of those earlier characters we spoke of, one of the things I kind of picked up on later on was the tragicness and the tragedy of being gay, which you know, we spoke earlier about Salminio's role in Rebel Without a Cause, and you know that to me was cemented by the fact that Salminio in real life was actually murdered, and you know it was that kind of gay character, write him out. Yeah. And so there wasn't a chance to kind of get to know them. And so being gay was kind of like, yeah, but then you're on your way out.
Yeah.
So you weren't no longer in a storyline, which I found kind of sad.
And then you're not kind of seeing them in their day-to-day everydayness, really, are you?
Is it boring that all I want to see is everydayness?
No, I think that. So if you don't see, and this is not just a question for you, but it's for people out there as well, if you don't see yourself on the screen, big screen or little screen, how can't relate to anybody
Well, one of the things that I particularly love about Joy, and while it's, you know, the visual medium is a very powerful one, but when you listen to Joy and you have such incredible diversity, the bear community is represented, the elderly community, the youth is represented, and the straights, absolutely, male and female. One of the things I love is the diversity. Now, we're not going to necessarily get that in mainstream media. I shouldn't say mainstream media, in visual media, but we are certainly going to get it on Joy, and I think that's a place for people to access.
And you're right too. I suppose media is not just what we've; it's also what we're hearing as well. And I agree 100%. I think that this is something that we need. I suppose role models can be everywhere.
Absolutely, in media now, we have much better access to film. I mean, I look at things like, I love the film Bear City, Transamerica, which I thought was just spectacular, Philadelphia, Monster Pies, Private Romeo. There are so many wonderful films that represent our diverse gay community.
Here's a question. I wonder, with Philadelphia was Tom Hanks. So I wonder, because he's a big, massive, and again, it's only mine or our opinion here, but massive star. Do you think that's what's needed for that way everyone's going to watch this new Tom Hanks movie movie? Does that then help?
I think it does, but for me, in that role, and this is just my opinion, I think Tom Hanks was a very safe choice, because Tom Hanks is a very safe character.
But he's also a draw card too, isn't
absolutely.
He?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, and that's one of the things we talked about earlier, is it visibility at any cost?
Yeah.
You know, would the film have been as successful if it was perhaps an unknown actor or an up-and-coming actor? I don't know. I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Of course. But I'm just curious. We've actually had somebody come in, and forgive my bad pronunciation if this is wrong, Anton Unessa? Is that? I don't know if that's correct.
Michelle, it's Anton Enos.
Oh, what's the A then at the end? Okay, so the SBS news presenter, somebody has said that's an inspirational gay role model. So we've only had one person. So I'm sure we've got lots of other people out there that have got role models.
I think now that we have a lot of gay role models who are out there. And I think that's really important, and I think it represents the times. But as we were speaking earlier, when I was growing up, and for a lot of people in Australia, we were heavily influenced by British culture and British television. And it was the 70s and 80s. You know, even going into the 90s, there was very limited access for us for characters that we could identify with.
I suppose even there seems to have been maybe a glut of TV shows and movies, perhaps in the last 10 years, would you say?
Well, yeah. I mean, they've always kind of been there. You've had gay movies since, you know, 1930s.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've had programs like Will and Grace and The L Word, which all and Queer as Folk, which all do amazing things for our community and raise our visibility and socialise our community with the broader world. And I think that's really important as well.
We actually haven't Ellen is perhaps one of those role models. I mean, for myself, as you know, a straight woman, I find her incredibly inspirational. But I know she had a horrendous time when she came out.
Absolutely. She was lost sacked her from the career. Network, wasn't
yeah,
she?
That's yeah. right. Yeah. So one of the things I suppose that I really like about her as a role model, in a sense, not just as a person, but as a gay woman, is that she didn't. It didn't hold her back. It didn't appear to stop her. It made her stronger, and proving that you can't always listen to the negative stinking thinking from everybody. She's really soldiered on and has had an incredible success. And I suppose that is a kind of role model, I think, that's really important as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think for me, you know, I love Ellen, and I think she's done an amazing job, but it's not someone that I can necessarily relate to, not because she's lesbian, but I don't, and I know television is not real, I get that, but she's she hosts a network show. That's not what I relate to. It's the everydayness, you know. And where I think what's really important is that we have these characters in programs that are just out and ordinary. That they're doing things like, you know, they're in Walford Square and they're in Home and Away and they're in Neighbours and all those kind of programs. So they're socialised, and I think that's really important.
Yeah. You've used that word ordinary. It's interesting. Somebody else has sent in, real life people are the best role models. Bring on more out ordinary people. There needs to be more everyday advertising that are inclusive of ordinary people from all diverse walks of life.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Coca-Cola in their recent advert, they featured a same-sex couple, and that was during Super Bowl, which is prime time. And what was wonderful was it's just couple, it wasn't extravagant, over the top. They were just two guys who were getting on with it.
There's something now, I don't know, there's a car ad, a brand of car.
Volvo do a same-sex advert.
Yes. Yeah. However, now, this is just my opinion. I know that. They don't say wife, girlfriend, boyfriend. They say special partner. I think that's the words that they use. Now, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Yeah. I don't know if you have an opinion on that.
I haven't actually heard that. I have seen the print advertisement and the small commercial, which is just two guys and their dogs. And it's just beautiful. It's just very simple, everyday. And you know what? If that wouldn't deter me if I was a straight person from purchasing a car, just like seeing a straight couple wouldn't. But it does socialise us.
It does. But what my issue is, why couldn't they say boyfriend?
Well,
I know.
Yeah,
you know, it's something I can't answer.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We can't answer.
But I mean, there's probably some psychology behind it. I think probably the word partner sits a lot better with most audiences.
Yeah, maybe
because people can identify with a partner. Only a certain group of the community can relate to a boyfriend. Mm. So a partner is probably a better term.
There's a lot of. I wonder whether some of the TV shows that are on now, do you think they cover all walks of life and all people? So you've got things like Modern Family, which got a gay couple, where they've got kids, so they're talking about child rearing as well, which anybody that's got a child or is a grandparent or whatever can relate to. You've got there's a new show that's on called Orange is the New Black, which has a transgender woman in there.
Yep.
So I think from what I'm starting to see, there seems to be maybe people are maybe the creators of all this media and TV, they're perhaps prepared to take a bit more of a
plunge.
Well,
I think so. You know,
risk.
I'm a huge fan of Australian cinema and Australian television, but you have to appreciate Hollywood represents a microcosm of society. What's happening in the world, Hollywood will represent through media. The fact that HBO, who has had a wonderful success with their programs, I mean, they're no strangers to sex, and we're going to talk about their new program later on.
Yeah, we will.
But that has opened up. I think the conversation for a lot of people. There is a commercial decision to be made every time, but there's a social responsibility, and I think we're being able to balance the two is important. We've got a message. Can I read that one out?
Yeah, love to.
Thank you for that. What the message is, it talks about The Sum of Us, and it's a wonderful Australian film, which it is, and it shows the lives of just regular guys. And one of the things that the caller put here that I really liked was they haven't. It was one of those gay characters who does not die of AIDS or is the funny uncle, and that's a character we see a lot of.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so I love that. Thank you for that.
I I feel, as the mum of a gay son as well, that there's so much out there that's helping to educate me.
Mm.
And one of the things that I feel is it's almost like it's giving me a bit of a greater understanding and a closeness to him, and that I might have a bit more of an inkling on what kind of goes on in his life, or maybe it's a little bit of a mindset. And I know Matt is of a similar age to my son, and I'm just wondering, Maddie, if you've got do you have any role models that you can think of that have impacted on you at all?
I think I kind of share the experience of Chris a little bit, where camp, although some may disagree, camp isn't really me. That depiction that you get in TV and film of gay people traditionally doesn't really represent my life. One thing that I find really powerful when it comes to media is people talking about the way that I feel. So radio shows on community radio stations like this one, where people are talking about my life and different experiences that I find in my own life, that is something that's really empowering. It's you don't see those kind of things on mainstream TV, although it's starting to come through more and more now. Mm. But when I was growing up, that's not something that I saw.
Yeah. So I'm taking it that you mean it's that you could relate. It's something you can relate to.
Yeah,
that's most important for you.
Exactly.
Well, there was obviously one of the groundbreaking series, I think, was probably Queer as Folk. Now, obviously, it started off in the UK, was adopted by the American market, and they extended the series. Now, I love the series. I bought the box set and all that kind of stuff. But for me, it was a highly sexualized gay life, and I couldn't necessarily relate to it. It was fun, it was frivolous, but I didn't see myself as any one of those characters.
Also, do you think that that's not representing you both in a true sense?
Because
it's painting you as just, you know, a sexual being only, and then that's not fair. That's not realness,
is
it?
Well, I think, you know, when you said sexual being, I think one of the things that it did was the gay characters in the past were not sexual at all. There was nothing sexual about those.
Yeah.
So maybe it was a, you know, it's like when we moved to punk, it was like that extreme opposite.
Like a knee-jerk reaction.
So, yeah, and I think it just went, they were polar opposites of each other, and I think that's really important. But now, while I think it's a great series, again, it wasn't something that I could particularly relate to. It showed a community that was very, very promiscuous, and some are, and that good on them, and, you know, all power to you. But I don't think it represents everyone. If my mother watched that show, or the broader community, that's the message that they've received, is promiscuity and gay life go hand in hand.
Yeah, and maybe that's not how you want to be perceived by your mum.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, we want to think of we don't want to think of our parents having sex any more than what they want to think about us having sex. So, you know,
there's a few people laughing right now.
But it's like, you know, I know my parents personally never had sex.
Of course not. Of course not. Neither mine.
Yeah.
No. But, I'm not answering. Yeah. I plead the fifth.
But for them to watch that, and you know, you have a gay son. Do you want to go? Oh, you know, you want to know about?
You're right.
Those things in gay life.
That's exactly, I suppose, what I was. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. I'm kind of getting a greater understanding of perhaps what his life is as a gay man. But am I learning or knowing too much? That question we can answer maybe when we come back. You are with Michelle and Chris. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Hey, this is Matt, and I'm a producer at Stand Up Straight, and as a gay man, I've never pushed a woman's buttons. Until now. You're with Michelle on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9 in both Melbourne and Sydney on Star Observer Digital, your sex, sexuality and gender diverse digital radio station. Hi, Sydney guys. We are talking about role models and what they were, what they are now, maybe what they're going to be in the future, Chris. We've had a text come in and it's created some discussion here in the studio, Chris.
Yeah.
What about celebrating our uniqueness?
Absolutely.
I, for one, have no intention of being everyday, ordinary or normal. Nothing would make me feel more boring. Shouldn't we be celebrating our diversity, not our normalness? And I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I agree as well. And I didn't mean to disrespect anybody and their uniqueness. It's just normal is probably a bad word. I think socialise and to be able to represent all of our community. We're incredibly wonderful and diverse.
Correct.
And that's all of it. And but for me, and I was, as I said earlier in the show, I was only talking about my own experience, my own observation. That's all. I don't certainly don't want to take away from
And we're not trying to dumb down or make everyone beige and bland or anything like that, I suppose. But when we see the broad cross-section of society, we see love, hate, divorce, everything.
Absolutely.
Everything that could go wrong in a life, every success, everything. Yeah. But we don't see that in the GLBTI and not represented that way.
No. I mean, they are in some. I mean, when we look at the incredible film Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
There is, I don't think there really is a greater love story. I absolutely adore the film. My family can watch a film and get understand love with that between two men.
Mm.
And I think that's really important, and that's the sort of thing that should be socialised. It's not necessarily, it came to a tragic end, but, you know, that sort of thing where that love is there and it's, we want the same thing that our parents want and that our parents have, that you and your partner have. That's all that you wish for your son, you know, and I think that's really important that we see that this is attainable for us.
Correct. And that others see it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Matt, there was a program that was your very first program that you ever watched that had gay, not characters, but gay people.
Yeah, this was the show, and I think a lot of people can relate to me when I say this, is the show that I would watch secretly in my bedroom.
Your guilty pleasure?
It wasn't as much a guilty pleasure. It was the one that I didn't really want Mum to see me watching because I didn't know what I was feeling, and I didn't know if this was me. And this was when I was still exploring who I was as a person, and what my sexuality was. It was Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, and it was one of those shows that did that really. I, in my own opinion, a really good job of identifying. Sure, there's different stereotypes, like for example, Carson Kresley, the very camp, over the top character in that one that was into fashion and design and stuff. But then at the same time, you had all these different characters that were interested in different things and really good at different things. It was those characters that really shone through to me that went, oh, okay, being gay doesn't have to be Carson Kresley.
Yeah. And do you think that it kind of, it's almost like it had every aspect of one gay person, perhaps it kind of ticked all different boxes?
Yeah. It was really helpful in just kind of looking out there and going, okay, so I'm gay, then I have to be into fashion. And that was almost the image that was put into my head when I first realised what gay people were and the depiction in TV and film and things like that. It was, oh, I'm gay, so I have to be interested in fashion. I have to want to go shopping with girls and stuff and pick out their shoes, which really I couldn't be anything further from.
I would.
You're lucky it's radio.
What's wrong with my shoes?
Nothing.
We won't go there, Chris. We'll take him shopping after. Yeah.
Like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, I think was an amazing show, and I think did break some ground. One of the things I'm kind of really interested in, and from my own perspective, I'm a little ignorant, is what happens within the lesbian community. You know, I watch Prisoner and all those kind of shows, but I'm sure that they had the same experiences we had. So if anybody is out there listening, I would love to hear from what experiences you had from the lesbian community. I'm fascinated.
There's not as much representation at all, is there?
No. Well, there's not. I mean, you know, I think, and this may be quite controversial, but I think that there's more acceptance of lesbians in the media because women can identify with it, I think, and some straight men will fantasize about it. And I think, you know, that's kind of more acceptable, I think, as a portrayal than... And you can understand that. A woman can certainly understand to fall in love with another woman. Absolutely, you can get that. But I think it's difficult for men to understand. And that's what I'm saying. You know, it probably is controversial. But I think that's an easier sell for mainstream media. Yeah.
Yeah, Oh, you got me thinking. I'm just wondering what people are yelling at the radio at the moment.
SMS or text.
Saying. We've had another SMS in on 0427 Joy 949. Great topic, and I agree with Chris. Your sexuality does not define you.
Also mentioned there that it was VW. Thank you so much for that. I thought it was Volvo, so I stand corrected. No, Thank you for that message.
Yeah, we touched on a couple of other programs earlier, Glee.
Now, Glee, I think, is amazing. And that's kind of, I think it has a wonderful, because it accesses a young audience and, you know, telling them that transgender is okay, gay is okay. And they go through in that show a lot of the issues that regular teens are going through. They know what it is to fall in love and to have sex for the first time. And, you know, and I think when they did that, they paralleled it with a straight couple. So it was easy for people to identify with. And I think that they've done an incredible job of socialising sexuality and diversity in their program. I absolutely applaud them.
Yeah. Do you, and what about Will and Grace, which I think was, would that be about 12 years ago?
Oh, God, some time ago. See, Will and Grace, what I got from that was to be gay was single.
Because
he
had,
for all those years it ran, he never had a successful relationship. You know?
But okay, here's a question. What's a successful relationship? 1 year, 2 years, 10, 15, 25, 27?
I don't know.
See, that's
kind of,
I know that's another topic,
answer.
But what is a successful relationship? You're saying that's what that character ended up being. He came back
but
to that
like
same place.
The message was, you know, being gay is being alone. That was kind of the message that I kind of picked up from
that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is just what I got from it. Maybe I was sad and pathetic at the time. I don't know. But,
but that's interesting. I had never ever thought of it that way.
With your son, do you watch these programs and think to yourself, you know, that's the life I want for my son?
That's a great question.
Are you aware of, or were you aware of what he was watching and the influences that had on him growing up? I mean, I've met your son. He's an incredibly well-adjusted young man. Mm-hmm. But he's obviously gone through his issues, and I'm wondering where, as a parent, did you see things that go, okay, I can relate that to my son, or?
I probably see that a lot more now, and I can kind of relate. I feel like I could relate to him a lot more now. I think, you know, having a gay son, I don't, and this is a little bit off topic, but having a gay son, I don't want him to be represented or thought of in a negative way at all.
Of course not.
So to me, if I see some flaming queen or some like John Inman from Are You Being Served or any of those really negative characters, I don't want that to kind of ever reflect on my son.
No.
Does that
but
kind of make sense?
I think, you know, the times are very different in that you have, we are an incredibly diverse community, as that email said, and you know, we have, and everyone should be equally represented. There are some people in the community like that, and all power to them. But that's not we're not all like that.
No,
think media now has changed in that the example that you said, Matt, about Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, that had a range. Carson Kressley was obviously the star and was very flamboyant. Boy and over the top. That was very marketable. There were other characters in it, other gay men in it, who were just, forgive me for using the word normal, but they were just regular guys who just happened to be gay.
I think we want, maybe a bit of the theme at the moment is that we want not to be normalised, but for every single type of situation to be represented, the exciting, the amazing, the groundbreaking, the inspirational, as well as my baby won't get to sleep or I've got to go to the damn supermarket, everything in between,
But when I see images on the news of whether it be Pride or something like that, it's the flamboyant, the over-the-top
that the media
pick up on.
The pink feather boa, I know.
Absolutely, yeah.
We've fired some people up in the studio, I think. Haven't
Sorry.
We, Chris? We just going to go for a quick break. You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
Hi, everyone. You are with Michelle and Chris, and we're having some fiery, feisty, passionate debates and discussions about role models, what they were, what they are now, what we want them to be in the future, yeah? We've had a great message. You know, thank you to everyone that has SMS'd in on 0427 JOY949. You can also email on air at joy.org.au. You got about 4 minutes to cram those messages in. One of the messages now, I'm just going to read out. It says, slowly but surely, gay acceptance is growing, so all the negative messages around being gay are having less and less importance or impact. But the hate and ignorance we've had to endure as a community only made us more determined to stick together and hold our heads high. In the absence of something negative to rally against, do you think we will start to break down in what has made us so strong? Will we start to see division within the various segments of the GLBTI community? Maybe not initially, but in the mid to long term. Great.
Interesting question. Yeah,
yeah,
I don't think we're going to be able to answer that. But I love that, because I think, you know, there is gradually more acceptance. And I think one of the things that we were talking about with Orange is the New Black and programs like Looking and Glee, it's representing more of our community. We're no longer the joke or the tragic victim. We are socialized in so many different ways. Mm. And the media has come a long way with that.
Oh, huge, huge. We touched on Orange is the New Black, which is a fabulous, very realistic show set in a women's prison that has quite a diverse range of characters and people in it as well. A very, very strong transgender woman in it that talks about her children, and I think that that touches me she's actually probably my favourite character in the show. If you haven't watched it, guys, tune in and I'll find that show to watch. Looking is the newest show that's
absolutely
hit the
brand new HBO show.
Yeah.
We have some kind of diversity.
You're excited now. I've said this before. You light up.
I can't see why. I have a housemate who, after episode 3, has decided to turn off it. It's not his cup of tea. He wanted more of Sex and the City, but I love the. Again, this word normalness, the regularness of it, because I kind of relate. I mean, I don't live in San Francisco, but I can relate to that, just kind of the friendship that I love with my gay friends. Mm. The, you know, the quest for love. And it's that you have one of them that's after that long term, you know, the ideal. You have a gay couple and how they manage their relationship. You know, it just works for them. And I love everything about it so far.
But it's showing, you know, the successes that people are having in their lives as well. And everything that I seem to see, I can relate to. And is that not what we're wanting?
Absolutely.
So that anybody that is watching can relate to it.
Yeah.
And even in a subliminal way, role models are being created without us even knowing, in a sense. Yeah.
But we are being socialised, and I love that.
I might have offended somebody, so I do apologise with some of the things that I have said. We've had another message in. Great topic, guys. Don't forget that some guys are flamboyant and queeny. So I do apologise if I have offended anyone out there. So that it's obvious that they're gay. If they were normal, then they'd often need to come out to people one by one. But being fabulously over the top means people just know they're gay. It could also just be that they're embracing being a little different. I can identify with that. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Nice. Completely support that.
We've had a fabulous, fabulous cross-section of messages come in, Chris, haven't we?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I was just about to thank you. You've thanked me first. So, yeah, thank you so much for coming in, Chris.
Pleasure.
And providing, I know you did a lot of research, reluctantly, of course. I know you hate watching those movies. I hope we've stirred up some conversation and created some thoughts with some people out there. We have got Spirit Lounge up next with Joy and Andrew. Going to leap. Thanks to my Matt bookends on my desk and on the front desk. Thank you, Matt boys. Leave you with your weekly challenge. What will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change, or encourage involvement? You have been listening to Michelle Barber on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Stand Up Straight has a podcast, so check it out at the Joy website, joy.org.au.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.